We're so glad that you all are here today, and this is Palm Sunday, a very special day in our lives, a very special day in the life of the churches around the world. We're so thankful that the sun has come out here in Derrick's, and going to have a beautiful day today. We're going to have our musical presented by our precious children in just a moment. Let's begin with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Palm Sunday. We're grateful, dear Lord, for all that it means to us, all the deep, inner, spiritual meaning that it means to us on that day many years ago when you rode into Jerusalem. And Father, we pray that you will ride into Derrick's today, into this building right here in this church house, and that you, by your Holy Spirit, will be here to speak to us through the music, through the message, through everything that we do today. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who is here, and pray that your Spirit would move among us. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Savior, he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Matthew 28.
These are some of the most profound words in all of history. These words, he has risen, changed everything.
God's promise in Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, became a reality that resurrection morning.
This new reality of the power of life over death came through the amazing, loving sacrifice of Jesus, who gently dressed himself in flesh, walked among us, and gave up everything for us.
Carry the cross.
earth, healing the sick, bringing hope, speaking peace, and teaching about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus brought people face to face with the Word of God.
Some recognized him and understood that the power and authority with which he spoke came directly from his Father, God Almighty. Many did not. They were content to shout Hosanna with the adoring crowds and crucify him with the sneering mob.
But on the side of resurrection morning, we know the whole story. We shout, death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 57. We join our voices with the unending song of heaven, proclaiming that you, Jesus, are Lord of all.
Thank you.
his love among us, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:9 through 10.
Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2, 7 through 8.
According to Romans 5 and 8, this one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people.
Responding in obedience to the Father and out of love for us, did what no one else could do. He did it all.
Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for sending Jesus, the only sacrifice that could make us right with you.
Jesus, thank you. When there was no earthly way for us to come to the Father, you make a way. You give your life on the cross and defeated death through the power of resurrection.
This defeat did not bring Jesus, did not only brought Jesus back to life, but it also brought life to you and me. Life that is not just for today, but life that is forever.
Life forever, hallelujah, what a savior.
Thank you.
Y'all did one of the most wonderful jobs of singing and testifying today that I've ever seen. This is absolutely wonderful. Don't you all agree? Isn't it great? Amen. It couldn't have been better. I want to thank Kim and Tammy and Kathy and Miss Wilma and any others who helped in all of this. Who? And Courtney back with the sound. But what you all did in picking out this musical was Spirit-led. I just was listening and thinking, now the Spirit led them in selecting these songs, and the message was perfect for this day. So thank you all so very much for doing that. And children, y'all have done a wonderful job too. Oh, yes. I wish I knew all of your names. As a matter of fact, I think maybe I can get you to tell me who you are. Before you go back and be seated, why don't you come one at a time and tell us who you are? Because it's very important. Who'll be the first? Darcy, you can be first. You can lead the way. Just come up and tell them in a loud voice so the one on the back can tell. Just tell them who you are. Go ahead and hold it. That's all right.
My name's Darcy.
What's your last name?
Jones.
Darcy Jones. Very good, Darcy. Okay. Y'all come one at a time and just tell us who you are.
Madison Ackley.
Madison. And your last name?
Ackley.
Ackley. Madison, it's so good to see you. God bless you. You did great. Okay. Step out in front. So there you go. And tell us who you are.
Evelyn.
What, hon?
Evelyn Salgado.
Say it louder. I can't hear.
Evelyn Salgado.
Evelyn. Wonderful, Evelyn. You did a wonderful job. Now, y'all come on. There you go.
Caleb Woodall.
Okay, very good.
Brett Jones.
My name is Jace Melton.
What's your first name?
Jace.
Jace? Wonderful, Jace. You did a great job today. Okay.
My name's Brendan Woodall.
Brendan did a wonderful job, too. What is your name?
My name is Tomas Sagado.
Well, we're so glad that you sang for us today. Y'all come on down, too.
My name is Aurelie Sagado.
Wonderful. You did a wonderful job today. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes we see these children, and we really don't know who they are. And weeks and months go by, and we say, I don't know who those people are. Come on down here, hon, and tell us who you are. Take front stage center right here. One of the stars.
Benedona Ackley.
Wonderful. Very good. Okay. Do we have another one here? Okay. You want to tell me who you are?
Langan Melking.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you did a great job today.
Kaylee Manning.
Haley, so glad. You did a wonderful job today.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, and last but not least.
My name is Mason Smith.
Mason Smith. Amen.
Amen.
I like to recognize them individually because we often do not know who the children are, and we need to know who each one is. I think we'll take up the offering at the close of the service instead of as it is in the bulletin there. We'll do it at the very end of the service. And I'm going to go ahead and do our message for now. Are you taking, well, Rasa wants to take the children to Children's Church. Do you want to do that? Well, okay. She's, okay. You children want to go to Children's Church, Rasa, seeing Jesus loves the little children, couldn't we? Because he certainly does, and we do too, very much. And there's two fine boys holding hands together and going to Children's Church. Very good. Well, I'm just so thankful that we have children. I'm glad we have adults who work with our children, who are concerned to teach them and train them You parents are doing the same thing, and we're grateful for all of you as well. And we know that the Lord loves the children, and we do too. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you for what our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, and we're so grateful for that message in that wonderful musical program. The songs were perfect. The message was eternal. And we're so grateful for those who worked so hard to bless us today. We pray that you would lead us now in these closing moments of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn this morning to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I've been preaching through the book of Mark ever since January the 1st. We are not to chapter 11, but I decided to skip on over to chapter 11 because today is Palm Sunday, and this is the passage concerning the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, "And when they came near to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, Go into the village. As soon as you are entered into it, find a colt who's tied up. Never a man sat on its back. Loose the colt and bring him. And if anyone says unto you, Why do you do this? Say, The Lord has need of him. And straightway he will send him here. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside in a place where two ways met. And they loosed the colt." You getting the picture of what was going on here? "And certain of them stood there saying, What are you doing, loosing that colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon his back. And they spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches, palm branches, off the trees, and spread them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about on all things, and now the evening was coming," he was running out of time, in other words, "he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Tonight at 7 o'clock, our time, there'll be a movie on television. I guess I'll have to watch it later. I'm sure it'll be played many other times on National Geographic Channel. It's the one based upon the book that Bill O'Reilly wrote, Killing Jesus. And so all around the world, all over the country, people are waiting for tonight because it's a big deal. The book that Bill O'Reilly wrote, Killing Jesus, became a bestseller like Killing Patton and Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln. He wrote those. He got a good thing going. I wish my son could start writing books like that and make all that money. He hadn't got the magic like O'Reilly does. But anyway, they've made a motion picture of it. It's 3 hours long, and it will be shown tonight on television all around the country. I heard O'Reilly as he interviewed the man who is the actor who plays Jesus. Did you all see his interviewing him? The one who plays the part of Jesus is a Muslim. He is not a Christian, not a Jew, but he's a Muslim. And so this week, O'Reilly interviewed him. He's a very famous actor, a movie star, knows what he's doing. It was interesting to me to think, now the one that was chosen to play the role of Jesus in the movie is a Muslim. Well, that probably doesn't make any difference. Actors are good actors, and We don't know who played Jesus years before. Some of them were probably unbelievers. Some of them may have been Jews. Some of them atheists. An actor is an actor and can do a great job playing a role. And so that's not the big, big issue there. I thought it interesting, though, that this young man, as O'Reilly interviewed him, he said, "I've always had a respect for this Jesus, even though I'm a Muslim." Well, he said, "I'm not really a very good Muslim. I'm not that much of one, actually." He said, "As a matter of fact, I really think I'm pretty much irreligious, that I really don't have any religion at all." But he said, "I like all religions because I think that all religions have good things in them." Well, I would hope and pray, after playing the part of Jesus in this motion picture, that maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to this young man. I can't even remember his name. But I know that God loves him. And I know that things like this can cause people to think about themselves. And we pray that one day that young man may become a follower of Jesus and do more than just portray him on the screen, actually become a disciple of Jesus. But in the movie, in the clips that I saw, and I looked at several of them, he has Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And we are familiar with that because we have known of that all of our lives in the story of Jesus. It always would seem to most of us that Jesus should have rode down the path to Jerusalem and down the streets of Jerusalem on a beautiful white Arabian horse. That's what I think he should have ridden on, a beautiful white stallion. Although in those days, the rulers, the guys who were conquering worlds, they would always ride on a black stallion, very spirited and energetic. And as they would go down the streets and into the cities and in the conquering cities, they would usually ride on a beautiful black horse. Jesus didn't do that. He rode on the back of a donkey. He did so because he was fulfilling Scripture. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, there is a prophecy there about the coming of the Messiah. The word Messiah means God's anointed. And all of those through the days of the Old Testament look forward to the day when Messiah would come, the anointed one of God would come. All the prophets prophesied someday the Messiah would come. And in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, this is what the prophecy was about the Messiah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming unto you. He is just, having salvation. He is lowly. He is riding upon a donkey, upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." There it was. 900 years before Jesus was ever born, there was the prophecy made by Zechariah that one day Messiah would come, and when he did come, he would come as conquering king, but he would be an unusual conquering king, and he would be seated upon the back of a donkey. He would be a humble king, a humble Messiah. Now, Jesus knew that prophecy. As a matter of fact, Jesus knew everything that he was doing, and he knew it all ahead of time. In the days we've studied in the book of Mark, how that in earlier days, Jesus would say to those that he touched, that he healed, that he ministered to, he would say, "Don't tell anybody about this." You remember that? We've studied that all the way through Mark. "Don't tell a word. Don't say a word about this. Don't let anybody know about it. Keep this secret. Keep it to yourselves." And so all the way through, as from in the ministry of Jesus, he's saying, "Keep it quiet. Don't tell people who I am. Don't let anybody know. Keep it quiet." Then he comes to the time, however, in his life, when he realizes the time is now, when he is to reveal himself publicly to the world, and that's what he does. So here he is not saying, "Keep it quiet, Don't tell anyone who I am. I don't want anyone to know. No, Jesus here determines, knowing that the will of God is being done and the time is right, Jesus says, now I'm going to tell everybody who I am and what I'm up to. And so here he makes a public display. He makes a big deal out of all of this. He orchestrates it. All the whole plan, the whole thing that's done. He tells his disciples, you know, go and get the colt and bring it to me. And it has to be a colt that's never been ridden before. And you're going to put me on the colt and I'm going to ride down the streets of Jerusalem. Jesus has been heading for Jerusalem all of this time. He knows what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He knows in Jerusalem is where he's going to be rejected by the people. He's going to be rejected by the religious authorities, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and all of them. He's going to be rejected by all of them. Jesus knows that in Jerusalem, in just a few days, he's going to be scourged. He's going to be whipped. He's going to be tortured. He knows in just a few days a crown of thorns is going to be placed on his head, that a robe is going to be placed around his body, that he's going to have to take a cross, and he's going to have to carry that cross, the weight of it bearing him down. He knows all of that is going to take place, but he's going to reveal himself to the city. Now, there were others in Jerusalem that day. As a matter of fact, they tell us from history there may have been 2 million people in Jerusalem, Israel, during the Passover season. That's a whale of a crowd. A big, big group of people. And in Jerusalem, I would imagine there was Pontius Pilate. He and all of his Roman legion, they were already there. They had already taken their place. And Pilate and all the Romans were there. And Herod was there, and all of his governmental authorities, they were already in Jerusalem. They had already let it be known who they were. Everybody knew who they were. And here Jesus comes riding on the back of a donkey down the streets of Jerusalem, saying in essence to Jerusalem and to all the world, I am the Messiah. I'm the one prophesied. I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of the world. But I'm not going to be a Savior like you think I am. I'm not coming to do what you all think I'm coming to do. I'm coming as a lowly servant. I'm coming as the lowly king. My kingdom is not of this world. He said to those, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight and I would tell them to go ahead. My kingdom is not of this world. He said, I'm coming, but your expectations are not going to be met because you think I'm someone else. And of course, those in Jerusalem, those Jewish people, thought he was going to do something else. His disciples probably thought that first of all, and they followed him. And others thought he was going to come. They had seen him work miracles. We've seen that in Mark. They have seen him heal the sick, cure the blind, cast out the demons, cure the lepers, all of these various things, and teach wonderful words. And we've seen all those many things that he did. And now they think Jesus is going to come and he's going to march into Jerusalem and he's going to take over. And they thought, because they were so politically minded, they thought that the solution to the problem that they had as a nation was a political solution. So if only they could conquer Rome and put them out of business and drive them out of their country, they would be wonderful and they would do well. But Jesus knew they were seeking that kind of a king, that kind of a Messiah. And Jesus knew that was not the kind of a king they needed. That was not the kind of a king that he came to be. He came, the gentle Jesus, the one who was meek and lowly of heart, the one who came to change people's lives. And do you know, I think a lot of people are like that today. I think a lot of people in Derricks and Nashville and Howard County and all the other places of the world, we're really sort of intrigued by the idea of Jesus. And we just sort of think that If only we could follow Jesus and we could somehow gain political clout in our country and somehow we could get back to being the major religion of the United States and we could be a Christian nation again, that somehow this would solve all of our problems and everything would be good and okay. But there's no indication in the Bible this is true. What we really need is not a new political system. What we need is Jesus Christ. He came to save us from our sins. And while there may be good, and there is good in various things in the political area, we must recognize that your greatest need and my greatest need is to be saved. We need salvation. We are lost in our sins. We are on our way to hell, every last person on the planet Earth. Whether there's a man playing the part of Jesus in a movie tonight, or whether there's someone else in some other part of the world, people need Christ Jesus more than anything else. And aren't you glad to know that as these children were singing here this morning, that Jesus Christ has come? I love the song, Jesus Paid It All. And He did. He paid the total debt for our sin. The children were over here at the cross, and I love this cross. And I love the way they came, and even those, the black, they represented what? I forgot. Shame and death and all of that. And they took that and nailed it to the cross. And they took all of this and nailed it to the cross. And we believe today that 2,000 years ago, during this week, Holy Week, that when we come to the end of the week, Jesus went to the cross. And there upon the cross, He died for us. He didn't die for Himself. The Bible says that He was perfect. He knew no sin, but He did become sin for us, though He was perfect and knew no sin Himself. Greater love has no man than this, the Bible says, than he would give his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did. You know, as I see this cross, if you had a piece of paper, and I could give it to you, and a pencil, you could write your sins down on it. And you might have to hide because you wouldn't want your wife to see all you wrote down, or your husband, or your mother, your dad, or your girlfriend or boyfriend to see everything you wrote down. But you could take all the sins that you know of in your life, and you could write them on a piece of paper. And then we could have an invitation, and it would be proper to do that. And you could bring all of those sins and walk down here and nail them here. Nail them and put them on the cross. And that would symbolize what took place on Mount Calvary so many years ago. Jesus took all of your sins, all of my sins, and paid the price, the penalty for our sin. Boy, that's what the good news is. And the whole world needs to know that. The world needs to know that Jesus is the Savior. Think back to the time when you became a Christian, when you invited Jesus to come into your life. You may have been a child. You may have been a young adult. You may have been an older person. Maybe a different age. I know not. But can you remember the day when you said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm lost. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need to be saved. Jesus, I believe all that I know about You. I believe what it says about what You did upon the cross. And I believe that You were buried in a grave and rose on the third day, and that You live even today. I believe all of that. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my life and be my Savior. Can you remember that day in your life? That wonderful day? Sometimes you'll be smiling when you think of that. That was the day I gave my life to Christ. That was the day He came into my heart. That was the day I became a new person. That's the day I began to go on my way to heaven. And I've been traveling that road ever since. At the cross, where I once saw the light, where the burden of my sins rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all of this day. I wonder this morning as we come to this conclusion, do you know Jesus as your Savior on this Palm Sunday? Do you worship Him and do you praise Him? Has He come into your heart and into your life? I hope that He has. If He has not, today is the day when He could come into your life and be your Savior. I was 12 whenever I was saved. I don't know how old you are this morning, but however old you may be, if you recognize you're lost, believe that Jesus died upon the cross for you, was resurrected from the grave for you, if you will repent of your sins and confess Him as your Savior, you can be saved now, today. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, dear Lord, for Your presence here with us today. And I pray that during this invitation time, if there is even one person here who is not a Christian yet, that they will come and they will come to the cross. They will come to You. And on this Palm Sunday, they'll begin to sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. May Your Holy Spirit lead us in these moments. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.